Let me get this going. This looks like it's going. Okay. Welcome everybody. We are December 17th, and this is the fourth lecture of this year. Just for a sec, just before, next week is Hanukkah, so we're off next week. Tomorrow night is Hanukkah, but next Matzei Shabbos, so there's no class next week. Okay, this week we're going to be talking about Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. A lot to say about him. Where are we holding? Where does he fit in? So the Hasidic movement, as we know it today, was the founder, the one who started it was Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. He was the one that formed it. He was the influencer. He got people to believe him. He had a very inner circle of great Talmidei Chachamim. Of his and the Baal Shem passed away in 1760. Now, when he passed away, it was a group of people. It was, you know, many people, many, probably even thousands of people heard about the Baal Shem Tov, but it was like a group of the Baal Shem Tov's Hasidim. It wasn't like you would call it a movement yet. It wasn't. When he passed away the first year again, we said his son took over, and then Baal Shem passed away on Shavuos, and the next year Shavuos, all of his close Talmidim got together, you know, the art side of the Rebbe, when they were all together, the Baal Shem Tov's son got up. He said, "My father came to me in a dream, and he said the next the leader of our group should be the Maggid of Meserich." And he got up. He took off his white coat, kapata, his white hat, and he gave it to the Maggid. Now, it's a tremendous thing. I mean, it's not easy to give up position, prestige, power, kavod, honor, and he did it. It's just to his credit as well. And the Maggid of Meserich for the next 12 years is going to be the leader. And the Maggid of Meserich is going to make this into a movement. He was a tremendous organizer, and he is going to himself also get a group of tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, tremendous amount of people that are Baal Mashpia. And we're going to discuss some of these people. And he also would send people out to, what's a better word, to proselytize, I guess, so to speak, to go out there and to convince people to come to him. And he did create this movement. This, you know, he had people going out to all these different places. And he moved again from Meserich, where the Baal Shem was, to Meserich, to a different place. And Meserich became the nerve center, and things were happening there. People were coming, and that's where it was all happening. And we spoke last week about the Maggid of Meserich, you know, of an eyewitness account of somebody who was there and what a Shabbos looked like. And so the Maggid of Meserich for the next 12 years is going to be that he is, I guess, the leader of this movement. And by the time he passes away, 12 years later, I don't know if most of Europe at that point, not Europe, most of Poland, Ukraine area turned Hasidish already, but if it didn't happen then, it was happening. They were sweeping the boards. They had a great message, you know. The message was, you don't have to fast to be a Hasid. You, Hashem wants joy, you know. Hashem wants you to be happy. And you can serve Hashem. It doesn't only have to be, you know, of course, Torah learning is important, but if a person does mitzvah sincerely, and that's the way he connects to Hashem, that's just as meaningful to Hashem as somebody who sits and learns all day. Of course, those that are sitting and learning all day were not too happy with the message, as you can understand. And it's gonna cause a tremendous, tremendous machlokus, which we will at some point get into. We may touch upon it because Rav Levi Yitzchak is going to be involved in this machlokus. It was a message that the Jews of that area needed to hear. You had so many sincere Jews at the time that were looking, that would have wanted to come close to Hashem, but they didn't have the means, most of them, to have to be able to sit and learn. They didn't have the economic means, and to send their children also, they whatever they can do. And therefore, learning Torah overall in that area was not available to them. And they would have been lost, you know, that's it. Forces from all over were starting to invade. We mentioned the Frank movement, Jacob Frank, who held himself as a reincarnation of Shabtai Tzvi, was coming in and with certain Kabbalistic ideas that he was perverting, but he had a following because people were searching. You know, they were looking for something. They were taking whatever was available, almost probably very similar to our time, you know. You have Jews that are searching, and if you don't, they don't find, Frumkeit, they may end up in India somewhere, you know. But the Jewish neshama is searching. So this was a tremendous, tremendous answer. It was an answer to something that was so needed, and it probably saved tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Jews in the area. Kept them within the fold. Kept them within. So the Maggid of Meserich is going to have a number of Talmidim, and each of these Talmidim, and very, very unique. Great, great, great people. And the Rav Yitzchak, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev is going to be one of them. Just one other thing, just in how it's going to start to work. After the Baal Shem passed away, so the Maggid of Meserich was it. He was the leader, and everybody accepted him as the leader, pretty much. I mean, but he was the accepted leader of the new Hasidic movement. When the Maggid of Meserich is going to pass away, there's going to be no such thing. There's not going to be any more one person who is going to take over the leadership, but all the many Talmidim of the Maggid of Meserich, they're going to go in their own ways. Okay, so eventually, some of them are going to actually start, the dynasties are going to start from this generation. I guess we'll call it the second generation, or the third generation, if you're calling Baal Shem is the first, Maggid of Meserich would be the second, and after the Maggid of Meserich, this is the third generation, you're going to have different great people. Some of them are going to even start their dynasties. One of the dynasties that are going to start from here already is going to be Chabad, from one of the contemporaries of Rav Levi Yitzchak, or one of the Talmidim of the Maggid, is Rav Shneur Zalman of Leiby, who is the first Lubavitch Rebbe. Okay, so from here the dynasties are going to happen. But most of them did not have their courts already. In other words, it wasn't like, you know, they have their own chassidim, so to speak, and I am this chassid, this is my Rebbe. You know, that is not going to happen for a little bit, on the most part. But this level of this third generation are going to be great people who are going to have the ideas of the Baal Shem and the Maggid of Meserich, and they are going to continue with these ideas. And that was Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. He is not going to hold a court. He's not going to have his own you know, Chassidus, you know, the Badichavli Chassidim, that's not going to be known as that. He is going to have a following, but he was a Rav and a Rosh Hashiva. He had a yeshiva, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was a Rav of a shul, and this is who he is, and so therefore, even though we don't have a, there's not going to be any B'ditch of a Chassidim, because at this level, it wasn't the thing to do. Okay, also we have to decide, just again, there's a lot of things that are said about these Chassidic personalities. Some of them are true and some of them are not true. And how do you distinguish what's true or not? I don't know if there's really any way to know. You know, there's but like the Kutzker Rebbe said that we mentioned, I think I mentioned it last week, or it's known, he says Rabbi Shapiro may have said it this week. Somebody I just heard said it. He said, if you believe everything, you're a fool.
Yeah, that was
Rabbi Shapiro. And if you don't believe anything, you're an apikaris. So somewhere in between. So, and the first one is going to probably, for the first slide I'm going to put on, it's probably going to be one of those things where, you know, maybe, maybe not. And that is, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the great people of his contemporaries. What did they say about Rav Levi Yitzchak? So again, even if this is not true,
wow,
but they would believe that it could have been true. In other words, even though the fact that they would say this, and it was said, there's a story that the day when Rav Levi Yitzchak was born, this is in a sefer called Toldos Kedushas Levi. Now, the Rav Levi Yitzchak put out a sefer called Kedushas Levi. That was a sefer, his thoughts, his ideas, his Hasidic philosophy in the Parsha. That's Kedushas Levi. And there was a sefer that came out afterwards called Toldos Kedushas Levi, more about the Rav Levi Yitzchak himself and stories about him. And this is one of them. There's a story that the day when Rav Levi Yitzchak was born, the Baal Shem Tov distributed a double portion of food and drink to his disciples. He told them, we should now rejoice, for today a very great and holy soul has come down to this world who will continually defend the Jewish people against the claims of the accuser. Now, did this really happen? I don't know. Who knows? But what is significant is the fact that they're saying this about Rav Levi Yitzchak.
Right.
You know, if it would have happened, they would have said, yeah, of course this could have happened. This is a, you know. But you get an idea of where they're, how the esteem that they hold of the Kedushas HaLevi, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Adicha. The second one, just the next few slides are different people, his contemporaries, about it. The Chozeh of Lublin also used to say, every day I set aside time to thank Hashem for having sent the great and holy soul of Rav Levi Yitzchak to this world. I mean, this is the Chozeh saying this about Rav Levi Yitzchak. I should also mention that not every Chassidish Rebbe was accepted by the other Chassidish Rebbes. You know, some of them had, I don't know if it's more competition or things that they didn't like about what they were doing, either their practices or things that they were saying or doing. But it was one thing that everybody all felt that they, Rav Levi Yitzchak was accepted by everybody. He was known that there was no, of the Hasidim, there was nobody that had any reservations about Rav Levi Yitzchak. And this Chozeh Lubin, every day I thank Hashem for sending the Chozeh. Rav Nachman of Breslov, who was very, very, limited in his praise, but he was very careful. He wasn't like praising all the people all the time. So if he praised somebody, it had value. It meant something. The Holy Rav Rav Nachman of Breslov, the grandson of the Besh, ordered his followers to check their tefillin if the Holy Rav of Bedicha could come within their area. The reason he gave is that the Holy Rav of Bedicha is considered the Pe'er Yisrael. Thank you. He was considered the Pe'er Yisrael. Pe'er, and that's what Tefillin is. Tefillin is Pe'er. So he had that description.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get to it, but the Rav Levi Yitzchak had something very, very special about tefillin. It was a very great mitzvah to him. I'll say it now, we'll just pass it by, but it says that when Yontif was over, he couldn't sleep all night because he couldn't wait to put tefillin on in the morning.
Mm.
He would say tefillin again. He was also known as a defender for the Jewish people, and he would say we wear tefillin and Hashem wears tefillin, right? Our tefillin says Shema and B'chayim Shemoa, and what does Hashem's tefillin say? Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goyachad Be'aretz. Hashem's tefillin had praises about the Jewish people, and we have praises against. So when Rav Nachman of Breslin said when Rav Levi Yitzchak, if he'd come to town, we have to check our tefillin because he is the pe'er, which is what tefillin is as well. Rav Baruch Mezevitz, which is the grandson of the Baal Shem. Many years the angels are high with jealous. I didn't understand this, whatever, but I guess he must have said something negative about Rav Levi Yitzchak. So this is, again, take it for what it is. Rav Baruch Mezevitz says, for many years the angels on high were jealous of the holy service of the rabbi of the bishop. And the Sutton stood up and he says, what do you need a place to make this for? The sacrifices of the high priest and the coming of Mashiach. What do you need all that for? The holy rabbi of the bishop concentrates on all those proper thoughts and chudim, which the high priest concentrates upon. And that's it. So what do you need a base to make this? You have the Rav Levi Yitzchak. So he says, in order to annul this accusation of jealousy, I was forced to make fun of his divine service and to appear to show its inferior worth, to fight the suffering. However, it is very well I recognize his great sanctity. So, again, I don't know what to do with this, but in any case, what at least you see is that the what the Levi Yitzchak, his davening, his concentration, his yichudim, saying, understanding the different ways you say Hashem's name, causes a tremendous tikkun in this world. Not something that grew up with. I'm not familiar with this type of avoda in Hashem, but the great Hasidic leaders, that was something part of their avoda. Thinking about certain way Hashem's names, different ways of formulating them, and that makes a tremendous tikkun, that brings you a connection to Hashem and brings the world up. Rav Shneur Zalman of Leiden. So we were mentioning that Rav Shneur, when was it? He was thrown in jail around this time in the year 1798. He was imprisoned. And what did he do? What was his reaction? How is he going to, when this happened to Rav Shneur Zalman, again, this is the first of Abba Trevi, what did he do? So he sent his chassidim with a pigeon. He sent his chassidim with a pigeon to Rav Levi Yitzchak. He felt that's his Rebbe. He felt that if I'm going to get out of this tight situation, I need the tefillos of Rav Levi Yitzchak. And the pigeon, you send him some money, and you ask Rav Levi Yitzchak to daven on your behalf. And that's what he did. He ordered a fiddle and a pigeon to ask the Rav Levi Yitzchak to mention him in his prayers. And when he was freed, he sent a lady, a letter to the Rav Levi Yitzchak through a special emissary. In other words, Rav Shneur Zalman felt his getting out of jail was due, or there was something from Rav Levi Yitzchak. That was something that helped him get out. Okay, just a little bit. He was born in the year 1740, his father was a great Rav, and his mother was Sarah Sasha. And I think the name Rav Levi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha is like a names used, when you want to again evoke tefillah to protect a person from danger. That's people do say Levi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha. Okay. okay? It says that from Rav Levi Yitzchak, he had, it was like the 36 generations of Rabbanim, going all the way back, one after another. Again, this is from the Sefer Toldos Kedushas Levi, which is about Rav Levi Yitzchak. It came out after his life. The Sefer Kedushas Levi was written in itself by Rav Levi Yitzchak, but the Toldos Kedushas Levi was written later about the life of Rav Levi Yitzchak. This is seen in my eyes. Okay, this is Marana Braslav. This was Rav Levi Yitzchak writes about himself when he was a young kid. This is, you know, his father would tell him to live a Shalach Manos, but he didn't send it through his servants, he sent it through you. You have to be the one. And Rav Levi Yitzchak felt that it taught him how to be concerned about everybody around him, how to deal with poor people, how to deal with other people, how to give it with kindness and joy. When he got older, he was a prodigy. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had a great mind. He was learned very, very well. He was in a group of Talmidei Chachamim with, including Hagayim Rav Yosef Toman, which was the prima donna. So he was in that type of chevra. That was, you know, his group that he was as he got older. And he married the daughter of Reb Yisrael of Lubato, Lublin. Okay, it's fine. As he got older, now he met Reb Shmelka of Nicholsburg. Now, there were these two very, very famous brothers, Reb Shmelka and the last name was Horowitz, both of them from the family of the Shalah. I'm sorry?
Lovers?
No. Reb Shmuel is going to end up becoming a Rav in Frankfurt. And when part of the conditions...
Shmuel is not Shmuel? That's not...
Oh, Shmuel, no, Shmuel is Shmuel. And his brother, Pinchas says Shmuel and Pinchas. But these were two brothers, famous brothers, and they would go everywhere, and they had these stories of them, you know, traveling around Europe. I'll tell you a story that I remember about them. I think it was about these two. No, it was about Zusha and Rav Eli Melech. But there were like two sets of very, very famous brothers. One was Rav Zusha and Rav Eli Melech Melezhinsk, and Rav Zusha was his brother. And there was another, these two also were brothers, Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg, and his brother, I think it was Rav Pinchas, who ended up becoming a Rav in Germany. But Chassidus was nothing in Germany yet. It just wasn't going anywhere yet, and they didn't want to hear of it. So when he accepted the position, his brother, the understanding was, is you're going to be a closet chassid. That's it. But on the outside, you have to chassidus, you keep to yourself. He was going to end up. He wrote this safe. His brother, Rav Shmelka's brother, wrote two very big sparim that we learn in yeshivas today. One is the Hafla, and the Makna. So I mean, this is one's on Kedushin and on Kedushin. Yeah.
I think I play one of his songs a lot.
Who?
Shmelka's
Niggin. What's his name? Shmelka's Niggin is
I didn't say he wrote it.
No, it wasn't. It's a different Shmelka.
It's a different Shmelka?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was Kedusha's name related to Kedusha's
album? I'm not sure. I don't think so. But
there is a Kedusha's album.
Right. There is a Kedusha's album. I'm not sure which Aaron that was, but I don't think that was it. So Rav Shmelka was again a chassid, and as a young man he went to Rav Shmelka, and they had a tremendous relationship together. Rav Shmelka said about the Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak, he said to him, He is my, well, first of all, you see, he said, he is my disciple in Nigla. In other words, Rav Shmuelka taught him Gemara and Shas. He's my Talmud. But I am his Talmud in Nistar, in Kabbalah in Yanim. So I guess Rabbi Yitzchak himself was like some sort of a Kabbalist, that Rav Shmuelka himself felt that he would learn from Rabbi Yitzchak a tremendous amount. Whereas he's, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak also felt that he was a Talmud, he considered himself a Talmud of Rav Shmuelka in Nigla, in Gemara Poskim, but he was the Rebbe, he was a Talmud of his in terms of Kabbalah. That was the part of the relationship that they had. Rav Shmuelka said about Rav Levi Yitzchak, he would not speak without first having holy intentions and concentrate on proper yichudim of Hashem's name. Mm. So again, everything he said was thought out. It wasn't anything that was thought out. Everyone, he wouldn't just say talk randomly. This is a lot of cousins. Okay, this is a Vatora. It's very easy, you know, with Chassidus Vatora, with breaking down the names and everyone having a gematria, but I think if we have time, we can come back to that. Okay, so this is where Levi Yitzchak get to the Magid of Mezerich. He was actually brought, Rav Shmuelka brought him. So because he saw he had such a great mind and he was such a wonder, unbelievable person, Talmud Chacham and fine individual, that when Rav Shmuelka said to Levi Yitzchak, I'm taking you with me. And he took him with him to the Magid, and that's how he met the Magid, and that's how Rav Levi Yitzchak became in part of that inner circle, part of that the inner circle of the Talmidim of the Magid of Mezerich. Okay, what's going to happen is that, I probably have it somewhere later on, is the Rav Shmuelka is going to move to another town. Okay, right now they were in, what was it, what did I say, Lubitz? But they're going to, when Rav Shmuelka is going to move to another town, it could have been to Nicholsburg, so the Levi Yitzchak is going to take over as Rav of that town. So he's going to take, this is in Poland. This is in more the, what's today, more Ukraine, but it's in Poland. It's Volhynia. This is an example of different things of Rav Levi Yitzchak's ideas and thoughts. He says, you know, that you have to serve Hashem with awe and with love. How do you serve Hashem with awe? By studying Torah, davening, mitzvahs, good deeds. But love comes through one's action. That you can see, and that's his Kavishas Levi Parshas Lech Lecha. He says, this is also the idea, which is not something that we're familiar with, or at least I'm not familiar with, is that when he explains in Noach, he says, you and your family should come to the Teva, right? Hashem says to Noach, come to the Teva. Now, Teva we know is an ark, right? But Teva could also be a word. The Teva is like a word. So the way he explains it is that a person should put all of his energy in the study of Torah and pray on every word that he utters. That's you take the idea of the pasuk and you bring out an idea that you want from the pasuk. Now, this type of Vatora does not go over well in yeshivas because it's not a simple parsha pshat. You're taking a holy, taking a word, you know, and you're taking it out of its simple meaning, and you're coming up with an entire drasha. So this is how he explained the pasuk. He should concentrate to such an extent that he ceases all physical activities through the teva, the word, I guess, meaning the spiritual component of the Hebrew letters. The person cleans and becomes connected to Hashem. If a person merits, to his he can direct his words to have the effect. So he desires. This level is referred to the Holy Zohar as Bala de Matrinusa. At the beginning, when he davens, the Tema directs the person to cling to Hashem. And for the letters are attracted to their spiritual source. This is why the word for speech is Dibor, meaning directing. And that's what happens in the beginning. And then I think in the next one, it helps him connect to Hashem. So this is something how the Hasidic, at least the Levi Yitzchak, this is how you connect to Hashem, thinking of words and its connection, the words themselves. When we daven just the words are part of a whole. We get the idea of what the davening is, but it seems that each of the words has a special meaning where it needs a special concentration.
It seems like the same thing, but they're just repackaging it.
Could be, or...
It really seems the same, but they're just presenting it in a new package.
Okay, it could be. It could be. I thought it more is like it is more on each word itself as opposed to the whole. Okay? I'm just presenting on something that he said. I'm sorry, the town is Rehovot. So Shmelka left Rehovot, and it was, he was 21 years old, and Levi Yitzchak became the Rav of Rehovot. Shmelka did not yet get his way to Nicholsburg, but he became the Rav of, Okay. And then from there he became the Rav of Nicholsburg. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak would daven with such intensity and such fervor that if you found him davening in one part of the shul in the beginning and you came back, you'd find him in another part of the shul. Which was also a very it was a big change on the way they davened. The way the Jews generally davened was very, concentrated, fixed, set. And the Hasidim, it was joyous. They made singing and dancing, and they'd move around a lot. That was a big change, what the Hasidim did about that. Now, just what happened with Levi Yitzchak, we're going to talk about more of the controversy between the Masnagdim and the Hasidim. As the Hasidim became more successful, right, and also now that more successful means they came more closer to Vilna or Lithuania, where the yeshivas had their presence, so it became more, it caught the attention of of the yeshivish world, and there became a machlokas. It was a debate where each side claimed victory. And after the debate, there was a cherem that was put out, signed by the Vilna Gaon. Mm. And that was the
beginning.
I mean, with the Gra, it was a force that all the Hasidim had to deal with. I mean, everybody agreed that the Vilna Gaon was over and above everything. They tried, the Hasidim, we're going to talk more about, they tried to get to the Gra wouldn't want to talk to them. But in any case, the cherem came out. It came out twice. It was two different debates, two different cherems. It was a debate, and to such a point, of Levi Yitzchak, and he had this many times. He had problems with the Masnagdim.
Rabbi, it would be amazing if it was 1776. With the future of America.
Okay. It was around that time, right. It was around maybe even 1772. I think it could have even been a little bit before the Maggid passed away. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember exactly, but we'll see. I'm sure I have it up here. Anyway, at the time, they pursued him through means, and they chased him out. They chased the Levi Yitzchak out in Rehovot, and with the such extent he had to leave Hoshana Rabbah with his lulav and esrog. That's how they chased him out to such a point. Terrible. We're looking back at this and saying, how could you? And maybe in those times with the Cherem and what they may have held it righteous zeal, you know, and we're looking back like, really? I mean, it's again, we're not there. We don't see what's going on. It's hard to judge, although it does not look, how could you, you know, what? Okay, anyway, that's what they did. They forced him. He was able to make it. He had to go to the city of Kuznets. He went to Menachem Mendel of Kuznets, where his where he stayed by, who's another one of a Talmud of the Magid of Mezerich. But what ended up happening is the Lady Yitzchak, he went to another city, and he was able to repay the favor. Because at some time, the Magid of Kuznets also had to run away. They chased him out, and he was able to run to the Rav Lady Yitzchak.
So
yeah.
I think he named Sanigor Shel Yisrael. Sanigor Shel Yisrael.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. He was the defender. The Lady Yitzchak, after all that, he's known as the defender. I should have brought that out in the beginning. He is known as a defender of Eretz, of the Jewish people.
So it's hard to believe that the Vilna Gaon would condone this. Is it that his followers?
I don't think he condoned the actual chasing him out on Hoshana Rabbah with just this.
Uh-huh.
But he did put a cherem. He felt that what they were doing would take Klal Yisrael off. And there were indications from this. There were certain things that were going on that was off. What probably happened, what people like say at the end, is without the Gra, the Hasidic movement may have gone over the edge. Because the Hasidic movement, whatever they did, they always had to say, how are we going to explain this to the Gra? So they always had to keep themselves in check. So after we're looking back, you know, after all this, there is what to say that, again, it was a machlokas. Shortly, I mean, within 50 years, the machlokas was basically, it was almost machlokas. I mean, you know, they had differences, but this was only in the very, very beginning, maybe even earlier on.
So by the 1800s?
1800s for sure, because at the 1800s, everybody had different enemies, non-Jewish enemies, that the Hasidim and the Mesnagdim really had to join forces together to fight. And the I think it was even, it was the Reb Chaim Volozhin actually got together with a Hasidic Rebbe together to fight some of the decrees of the Russian government. So already, the Talmud of the Gra, if I'm not mistaken, it was Reb Chaim Volozhin that had already, that's early 1800s. So already things were not as bad as they were in the very beginning. So this is something that he had to do. And just, it's just something to just to point out also, he's going to be known, I'm just going to give you a few examples. He was one of the greatest defenders of the Jewish people. Just stories, you just, it would be hard to, you know, to unbelievable what type of a person he was. So they asked Rav Elimelech Milozhinsk. So his son asked Rav Elimelech regarding the controversy surrounding the chief rabbi, the great Gaon, the chief rabbi of Zolokhov, which I think they're referring to Rav Levi Yitzchak at the time he was in Zolokhov. He and his father said, What do you think? This is a new thing? Come on, this is old news. This has happened again and again. For instance, Avram was thrown by Nimrod into a fiery furnace, and he left unscarred, and then later came to Eretz Yisrael, which soon experienced a famine. The inhabitants blamed it on him, and they argued that it occurred because he was a heretic who came to reside here. That's why this was one of the 10 tests. So, like, yeah, okay, so what happened to Avram Avinu, what happened also to Levi Yitzchak, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that was his response to this. Okay, this is a great example of how Levi Yitzchak would, his response to, like how people would attack him even. What happened is that Levi Yitzchak was walking to the shul wearing his palace and tefillin when a woman from a group of misnagdim threw a pitcher of water in his face, saying, Get out of here, you repugnant person.
Huh.
The holy rabbi paid no attention to this terrible incident, walked into the shul, and said with great feeling and sincerity, Master of the universe, and I believe that Levi Yitzchak said this with all insincerity, Master of the universe, don't punish them from on high. She certainly did this with the consent of her husband. If so, she is an upright woman who fulfills the will of her. I mean, we laugh because is that how? Who would ever have such a response?
Yeah.
You know, he was so famous for these. He would look at things differently. I'll just give you, I don't think I have it on a slide, but just one or two other stories about Rav Levi Yitzchak come to mind. And for example, there was a balagola, you know, a wagon driver. And one thing that, again, Rav Levi Yitzchak was, is he was there for everybody. The poorest of the poor. There was no such thing as I'm too high above the people. But he made time. And his attention was even to the poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low, he felt was important, and he gave him the time as well. So there was a balagola. Now, a balagola was not high on the social stratus, you know. And what happened is they went outside of the shul, and they see the balagola in talis and tefillin. And as he's davening, he's taking grease, you know, like grease, and he is greasing the axle of his wagon. So you picture the scene, he's dominating, he's greasing the wagon. And everyone there is just like, could you imagine this guy? You know, look at this is how you daven. You're davening with greasing your wheel? That's what you do? That's how you daven? Rav Levi Yitzchak came out, he says, Rabbeinu Shleilam, this is so unbelievable. Even when he's greasing his wheel, he's davening. You know, look at that. Look at Klal Yisrael. They grease their wheel. They look. You just turn it all around. Another story where, you know, somebody was davening so quickly. So like, the way I heard the story is the Levi Yitzchak went over to him and he said, you know. So the guy said to Levi Yitzchak, he said, I don't understand, what do you mean? He says, blah, 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 blah. He says, what are you talking about? So Levi Yitzchak said this, you don't understand what I mean, then how do you talk that way to Hashem? How do you talk that way? How do you expect Hashem to know what you're talking? So somebody overheard this conversation and said to Levi Yitzchak that, you know, a baby does not know how to talk. Uh-huh. And the baby goes, blah, blah, blah. And the mother understands exactly what the baby wants. And he heard this with Levi Yitzchak, loved it. It says, wow, it turned him around. He says, yeah, you know, he's very, very taken in by that thing. Always looking to how to twist and turn things around. This incident is an amazing incident. You know, she threw it at him. She said, Misama, she's a righteous woman. Misama, her husband told her, and she's doing the will of her husband, you know. Okay. This was told Rav Meir the son. He said that the spirit of Hashem speaks to him. He was a Rosh Hashiva, always coming up with new novelty, new Torah thoughts. Rav Levi Yitzchak, he had thousands of Talmidim who he learned Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Again, he had a yeshiva. He was the Rosh Hashiva in his town, whichever the towns he was, and he ended in Betichev. He was a Rosh Hashiva and the Rav, so he had people. He had people coming to his yeshiva, learning Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and he had them as his talmidim. He said about himself, we wrote all this as a result of our studies in Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and it's correct. Hashem helped me publish my novel. Okay, Hashem is pleased with such things. Okay, this is Reb Avram Katzenellenbogen. He was the one that led the Misnagdim against the Hasidim. He was the one that led in the debates against the Hasidim. And now he is the one, so he was the one that was it. He was the anti-Hasidic movement. That would be, the one person would be Reb Avram Katzenellenbogen. He was also a big Talmud Chacham in his own right. He was a Rav. And he says, it became well known throughout the land that I engaged in defeated in debate Yitzhak Zelikover, which is with Lady Yitzhak, the head of their rogue group in Warsaw. This was done in public in the synagogue suburb of Praga. He was like a mute and didn't open his mouth. So Rav Avram Katzenellenbogen said, yeah, you see, he didn't have anything to say. I'm right. And Rav Levi Yitzchak and the felt he took one look at the situation and he realized nothing is going to help. He saw that there was no real debate. I guess whether he understood it, it wasn't going to be something that they're going to be able to listen and take in what they're trying to respond. So he felt the best response was nothing, just not to say anything. And which is also takes in a tremendous amount of gevurah, so much you want to just say and respond. How could you say that about us? But he figured, listen, you're not going to listen to me. It's not doesn't pay to respond. So again, after the debate, both sides felt that they were victorious. The leaders, this is a letter from the community of Vilna. Okay, so they're sending a letter to Pinsk. So after, I forgot the name of the city, Rukalov, where he was, he then became the Rav in Pinsk, which is pretty amazing because Pinsk had a lot of non-Hasidim, so he was the Rav, a Hasidic Rav in Pinsk, and they took him as a Rav, and yet he was a Hasid after the ban. He was already thrown out from his first place because of the ban, and yet they took him into Pinsk, which again shows you a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous mensch of a person, a big. And now that this letter came from Vilna about him, so he's a Rav in Pinsk after the ban, and after they took him into Rav. So the leaders, they said, the Lady Yitzchak, who had been appointed by your community as Rav, and going is actually encouraging evildoers who have cast off the yoke of Torah and mitzvahs, you see how they refer to Hasidus, to innovate customs which were unknown to our holy forefathers. They are suspected, Hashudim, suspected, call themselves Hasidim. Already they lay the spiritual heads of the leaders' community. They have joined together to root out thorns and thistles from the vineyards of Israel by scattering these clusters of evildoers, driving them from us, and annulling their strange customs which have no basis in our holy Torah. The desire of Hashem has been victorious. We have stood firmly against them, subduing and humbling them as the dust of the earth. So he's saying our ban has helped, and they've gotten rid of many of these Hasidic rebbes. Alas, however, Satan is among us, referring to Levi Yitzchak, in that some of the leaders of your community are of that sect and strengthen the hand of the evildoers. Like in Pinsk, you got to do something because they're following Levi Yitzchak. We have warned you in previous letters and have made it known to you the restrictions and bans which communal leaders together with their rabbis have promulgated against the sect. Although your community has always been made up of God-fearing men and of renown, the powerful influence of this sect has forced you into this position and you long for relief. Even though it would have been better to remove the scepter and crown of authority from the Rav and going Rav Levi Yitzchak. However, when you decided not to remove him, according to the condition outlined in the written agreement, I guess they made some sort of written agreement with Rav Levi Yitzchak, to do, what he could do and what he can't do. We also agreed to abide by your decision. We hope that perhaps he would turn away from his erring ways and cease to continue to lead the people along the unpaved road. But if he continues to refuse to abide by this, and he maintains his independence, this is what you should do. Okay, and it continues, then we have urged you in our formal letters, we decree that you remove the crown from that aforementioned Rav of your community. Fine, let him neither teach Torah, render legal decisions. Again, this is from the community of Vilna to the community of Pinsk. Signed, actually, by the Vilna by himself. Okay, there was also, they speak about the knives. We've also, the Hasidim, they came up with a new way of making knives, which I think today we follow the Hasidic way. But at the time, it was an innovation. And it had an advantage and a disadvantage. So the Shechita knives. And they actually, in the very beginning, they said, what are you doing? Look what you're doing. You're making a big machlokas in Klal Yisrael. Like up until now, you could rely on a shofet, he's shefting it properly. But now you're saying, no, I'm not going to rely on him because he has that type of a knife. I'm only going to rely on him. So that could cause like very big problems in Kashrus and everything. And that's what this letter was about. He gave Haskamos on different Svarim. I'm just like trying to just go to the. This is just, you see the personality of Rav Levi Yitzchak. Rav Levi Yitzchak became a person where Dinei Torah came to. He was esteemed in all the eyes of the Hasidim, and anything of Hasidism, if there was they needed a Din Torah, they would find their way to Rav Levi Yitzchak. Okay, so he had a lot of court cases. He would judge. I think even between Hasidim and Misnagdim, but he was again a big Talmud Chacham, very, very esteemed. The Holy Rabbi. So what happened is there was this court case, and basically, so what happened is there was a court case between two lumberjacks. Lumber was a very, very big Jewish occupation in Europe, and one of them saw that he wasn't going to win; he was going to lose. So he realizes, what does he do? So he says, like the lady Yitzchak, and he says as follows. He said to him to try to get out of the verdict. He said to the Rav Levi Yitzchak, perhaps the Rav of Berditchev simply doesn't understand the intricacies of commerce and forests. Okay, so maybe you're not this is so you're busy with your Gemaras and you know Baba Kama and you know Yavamis and Shabbos, but this is business. You may not be so familiar with. And this was Lady Yitzchak's response. He says, the rabbi replied in an amused tone, if this would be an issue of Torah study, then it would be possible to argue that you are more knowledgeable than I. Torah, okay, I'll admit you may know more than me. Regarding the fear of heaven, I am sure you are my superior. You're a Shemayim, you can be more than me. But in matters of business, this is what Lady Yitzchak was telling this guy, I'm at home. I understand a lot more than you. And that was his response. I mean, that's how he dealt with it. And as I mentioned to you before, the night after a yontif, they wouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So for 7-8 days, he wouldn't wear tefillin. And the night before he was going to wear tefillin, he just couldn't sleep all night. He was so excited to put the tefillin on. Tzedakah, he would collect money, a lot of money. Another story, just the same idea. He had a sukkah and people were pushing into the sukkah. So the simple people were pushing in, they wanted to get into the sukkah too. So he said to them, let him. And the reason is, he says, look, you know what's going to happen is, in, you know, La'asad Lava with the sukkah of the Lev Yassin, you know, they're not going to let me in, I'm going to try to push my way into the sukkah of Lev Yassin. And then they say, what are you doing here? He's going to say, well, I allowed people to push their way into my sukkah, so I'm pushing my way into the sukkah of Lev Yassin. That's a, okay. This is also an idea of his that, on the one hand, is like a little bit of a tension. A person, of course, in his humility, a person is supposed to think, what am I? But Rav Levi Yitzchak says, but when it comes to doing mitzvahs, person's not allowed to think that way. Because if a person thinks, what are the mitzvahs that I'm doing? What am I doing? What's my davening worth? What's my Torah mitzvahs worth? If he thinks that way, he's not going to do it. So a person has to think, while he's doing the mitzvah, that it's important that Hashem loves us, and this is, yes, what I am doing is a great, great thing. After he's done with the mitzvah, he shouldn't think, look what I did. You know, pat himself on the back. I did so much. No, then you got to think, you did a great thing, but there's so much more you really need to do. So again, you need that the humility that you're, on the one hand, you're not doing as much as you can, but whatever you're doing, you have to, you can't have that idea that you're nothing, because then it's just going to affect your serving Hashem. That's the thing. Okay, I think I'm, was it one or two? Oh. Hanukkah. Let's talk about Hanukkah. Sure. So I just bring this up. This is one of his in Kedusha Slavi Hanukkah. So he brings down, he says, what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah was at the time He wanted the Greeks wanted to remove us from our holy Torah. Hashem saved us, and therefore during Hanukkah we should really apply more Torah study. You know, so that's a biggie. For these days are appropriate for Torah study. Fine. We should not, God forbid, allow the sounds of merrymakers. You should especially not engage in card play, which I've witnessed is widespread breach in Jewish community, do it our own sins. I don't exactly know what the type of card playing that they was, but it was a, you know, probably more closer to outward gambling, or gambling, was poker. I'm guessing more closer to what poker is. I'm not sure. I think I was looking into poker. I don't know if it was, if it came from Europe. I thought poker was more of a modern thing. I don't know if they really had it in the 1700s. But okay, whatever but there was some sort of a card playing, which he held his. The way you say cards. Anybody Yiddish? How do you say cards in Yiddish? Anybody?
Kuten.
What?
Kuten.
So, I don't know, but he made a play on words with klipa, is like the tumadika shell.
There's stuff with cards also on the dark side and blah, 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 blah. They use it for cards.
Okay, so whatever it was, but he was making a connection, you know, just like cards, and it's sort of klipa. It's a non-Jewish thing, and it was not a good thing. Hashem is my witness. My sole intention is to remove a stumbling block from humanity. Problem with card playing. One, the time of play, a person certainly has forgotten the fear of Hashem. Number two, I consider a person to be a thief. So this is when a person makes a bet. This is a smachta. This is, you know, many people hold that if you're betting, it's the money is all stolen. It's not a real, because a person, when he puts the money in the pot, he's betting, he only wants to win. He doesn't want to really lose. So it's that's the second thing. And the third thing is at the time of play, he's polluting himself with such terrible klipos. My mouth came out of there. Okay. Okay. This is a cute, this is also, you see how he talks to a thief. He says a Jewish thief was caught, and he says he could learn from everybody, even a Jewish thief. A Jewish thief was caught and put in prison and awaiting a severe punishment. The holy rabbi, however, managed to save him, was able to bring about a release. The rabbi asked him, look how much degradation you've suffered for no good reason, and look how you put yourself in such danger. Are you going to do such a thing again? So what, the thief replied. Even if I wasn't successful today, tomorrow I may meet with success. The holy rabbi was very moved. He said, we can learn from even a thief how to serve Hashem. Even if we weren't successful today, we could look forward tomorrow. You shouldn't lose hope. Look at this. Yeah. So, and then he had another one, a spiteful sinner. He said, you know, he said the way he got to the spiteful sinner, he said, listen, you're... you know, you do so many averas, but if you change, you can turn all your averas into mitzvahs. He says, I'm actually makana you. I'm jealous of you, because that's all you have to do is just turn yourself around and you'll get, you know, that's it. You get all your averas, and you have so many because you're a big sinner. If you can turn yourself around, you get all these mitzvahs. You just turn them into mitzvahs. Again, this is how we dealt with it. Okay, another different how we met with different people. I think we're gonna, I guess, really stop here. Again, fill in the page. Okay. What was this one? Just maybe I'll end with this one. You know, how he was known as a defender of the Jewish people, and he always stuck up for the Jews. He would say, like, you know, Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, he got up and he would debate Hashem. He'd say, look, I don't understand. Here you want us. We blow 100 shofar kolos every Rosh Hashanah. Hashem, what are we asking from you? We just want one shofar blowing. Just blow once for us. You know, He says, there's another one, and that's also with tefillin. He says, you know, Hashem, what Jew, if their tefillin would fall down on the ground, what Jew wouldn't pick up their tefillin? Right? So every Jew would pick up their tefillin. The Jewish people, they are your tefillin, and they're down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you pick it up? And you couldn't pick up the Jews? A third thing with tefillin, he said, you know, it says in your tefillin that Nika Amcha Yisrael, but if you're not going to redeem the Jewish, if you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, then I'm gonna tell everybody your tefillin are pasul. Because, you know, you have to forgive us. Because otherwise, you say Nika Amcha Yisrael, and if you don't forgive them, then we're not good. Your tefillin are pasul. All right, this is Levi Yitzhak, a very unique, a defender of Klal Yisrael, a very big Talmud Chacham, and this is the, okay, Amitz Hashem, next week we're off, but the week after, I'm not sure, I think we may be going to Rav Nachman Mibreslev. I think that's going to be the next one. Also, an unbelievable personality, and what he accomplished. And even today, he is like one of the biggest influences on people today. I mean, just Uman. Okay. We'll talk about it not next week, but the week after. Thank you all for coming.